Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
Okay, got some things I need to go through in the beginning here. I want to give you some vision for where we're going, some new things that we're adding to the church in this season. And then I have a prophetic message I want to present to you at the end. So I am going to ask you to be patient with me today. But it is important that you hear some of the new things because I want to build excitement and anticipation of some of the things God's putting in our hearts, some new things. And then I do have something. I believe there is an anointing upon this weekend to accomplish something. And I have to present the word in order to prepare your heart to receive it. And so I'm going to do both. And so really quickly, I'm going to take you through a couple new things that I want to inform you of to build some anticipation of the next season. Number one, we've already celebrated some of the good things that have already gone on. We love that we're investing in our Rockford campus and you're getting that new parking lot. We're so excited to help you because every success that you have is all of our success. And every outreach and everything that you do, you are us. And we want you to have the best. And we want you to represent Jesus so well on that side. And that parking lot was dangerous. Can we get a witness on that? I mean, hallelujah. People could have died. It was bad. And so you have a new one as of this week. So we're super excited about that. I'm excited about our Living Life ministry that just began with Pastor Lila Scrabeck. It's a ministry to our widows. Now, it's something the Lord really put into my heart. If you read your Bible, there's a verse that says, true religion is reaching out to widows and to orphans. And many of you have even started bringing in foster kids, and that's a beautiful ministry. But God really put it on my heart that there's so many widows in our sphere of influence. Matter of fact, we did a database. We're connected with approximately 100 widows that may or may not even be attending a church. They're out there somewhere. And this ministry is not just a support group for widows, but Pastor Lila, who herself is a widow, and a pastor. She went and got her license and all that stuff back into the ministry. It's a ministry not just of supporting widows, but helping them re-engage into their callings and the rest of their life that God has for them. And so we're super excited about that ministry. Something else that happened this summer, you may not realize it, is we remodeled our study center. That was the original building that we were in. So our classrooms are ready for School of the Bible. They're brighter, they're cleaner, they're better, they're looking good. And we even remodeled the bathrooms. Can I get an amen over there? If you've not been... Maybe you don't celebrate those bathrooms, but we have been traumatized by those bathrooms. Sometimes I think our deliverance ministry literally came to deal with the trauma of those old bathrooms, but we're so excited about our new bathrooms over there. And so thank you for volunteering. Many of you did that. We are excited about this fall. There's a conference that we're beginning. It's a called conference. It's called the Apex Conference. You may not realize that God has opened up the district, the state of Illinois, and the Assemblies of God, making Life Church and our Life Church Leadership College one of the premier colleges for young people who feel called of God to go to get their degree. It's a 4-year degree, and to get trained into the ministry. And so at this last youth camps that were this summer, there's a couple thousand teenagers that were there. There were lots of colleges represented there. But the district allowed our school to go up on the platform and really get behind us. Now that's 300 churches, 800 pastors get behind us, and to give us stage time to invite kids who feel the hand of God on their life, the call of God on their life, to come to our campus here in Roscoe and Rockford, we're going to be sharing them, and to do a conference. If you feel called of God, come to our conference and let's explore what that call of God looks like. And let's look at Life Church Leadership College as maybe the mechanism to get you into the ministry. Now that would be the next generation of children's pastors, youth pastors, senior pastors, church planners, missionaries, worship leaders. I mean, what an honor to have all of those ears being told we respect and trust this church, Life Church, to be a viable option for you to be discipled. That speaks a lot of who you are. And over 860 students filled out interest saying, I want to come to this conference. And so that is 160 students filled out cards to come. Maybe I'm prophesying, Pastor Ashton. Who knows? Tell you, there's an anointing on this today. But what I'm trying to help you see is God is trusting you. God is trusting us, and so is our district. And so that's something exciting that we'll be doing this fall with our Apex Conference. Something the Lord's bringing us back to, some things in this next season, some things that just for some reason in the shuffle of life kind of became a peripheral. God's bringing them back to center focus, and that's our encounter services. We're going to be having Sunday night encounter services every other month And so we're excited to bring those back. If you were not a part of that season, Encounter, we tried them on Wednesdays, but we really want to bring them back to Sunday night, especially because it gives us to be able to reinforce them in the morning services to say, hey, tonight we are going to have a service. And it's extended worship, it's some time of the word and some teaching, but in lots of ministry time at the altars. We've seen a lot of people healed in our encounter services. We've seen people filled with the Holy Spirit. We've seen people brought into freedom in our encounter service. A lot of prophetic ministry happens there. It's a great opportunity for other people to go to other churches even to come and get refreshed. And it's a staple of who we have been and something we need to make a priority again in our house. And so we're bringing back our encounter services with high priority and high enthusiasm. So we're super excited about our encounter services coming back every other month on our Sunday night. Something else we're bringing back that I want to bring to your attention is our prayer service, our midweek prayer service. In the beginning, the very first sermon I ever preached 14 years ago today, it was this. My house shall be a house of prayer. And unfortunately, I have to apologize, but somewhere in the mix, our house, we've been busy about the Father's business, but we've lost that central staple flagship place that we are a house of prayer. And so I personally am going to lead this on Wednesday nights, starting this Wednesday night, 6:30 to 7:30, every Wednesday night. Our pastoral team is going to be there when they can be there. Because all of us are making prayer a priority again in this. Not that we've lost our prayer life and our personal life, but somehow in the busyness of church calendar, it just somehow got shuffled to different places, and God just brought it back, said, that needs to become a central part of where you're going again. And so in that place, we're going to pray for the needs that come in the church, which if you have a personal need, go to Life Church website. There's a place up there that says prayer requests. There's a tab, and you can put in your prayer request, and then we'll follow that prayer wall on Wednesday nights, 6:30, so that we can use that as a prayer place to pray for all the prayer requests that have come through Life Church. And then we'll pray for church vision, and we'll pray for regional things, and we'll pray for national things that need to happen. The reason we're putting it on Wednesday nights is then in the fall when Awana's starts, obviously then we have the ability for you to have childcare with Awana's. We always have our youth ministry going on, and that'll even be this week. We don't have childcare of the Awana's age level this week. That'll start in the fall. But we're excited, and we really want it then to be something you can come to, bring your kids to get ministry, and you come and do some prayer work for your family, for your church, and for your region. And so we're excited about our midweek prayer service. Another thing I want to let you know about, we're excited to introduce to you, is starting in September, the church has purchased a subscription to a company called Right Now Media. Now, Right Now Media is kind of like a Christian Netflix, and we're going to share with all of our congregation a free membership to Right Now Media. So in that Right Now Media, you can download an app for your cell phone, for your tablets. There's Roku channels, there's Apple TV channels, so you can watch it on your TV. And so it's filled with all kinds of content, Bible studies, marriage, discipleship courses, financial things, documentaries. I'm big on history, tons of things about biblical history and archaeology. There's a kids version that has all Christian kids programming, so your kids can be playing throughout on their iPads and Kindles and things and be watching just thousands and thousands of Christian movies and cartoons and things that are going to be encouraging to them. And so we're really excited. You'll get an email in September, but that's something that we want you to take advantage of. There's conferences all over the country that some of you have not been able to afford to go to, but they always put them on video on the Right Now Media site. And so you're going to be able to start attending some of those leadership conferences, Bible conferences, right from your own house. Right from your own house. Amen. Something else I'm excited about, we're bringing back again. We've always had communion in the back of the lobby or back of the sanctuary throughout worship. You could go and use it. But the Lord really brought it back to me. And starting even today, at the end of the service today, we're going to start having monthly communion as a church, corporately, where we're believing God on those monthly moments of communion that we see healings. It's an act of covenant that we see breakthrough, and also God just continuing to unify the house as one body marching together. So we're excited about monthly communion coming. We're going to bring back the Holy Spirit Conference. We used to do a Holy Spirit Conference years ago, and we want to lean into what God has on our house that makes us unique. And one of the things that makes us unique is we really embrace the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and we introduce him or reintroduce him to people in a way that makes sense. And so that conference is going to be in March. It'll be a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. We'll have extra worship. We have some special guests coming in to help us with worship. We have special guests coming in to speak. And we're going to be pouring into you, but as well as making it available for other churches to come and to encounter the Holy Spirit and hopefully bring that back to their church. And so we're excited about the Holy Spirit Conference coming back. Another thing we're excited about this next season is, you know that we're really big on equipping. That's our vision, mission statement is equipping people to live an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. And we're really good at equipping people in the Word. You see all of our classes, you see all of our, even the fact that we're excited about right now, media, that's more teaching, teaching, teaching. That's just who we are as a church, our mentorships and all those things that we do. We're a teaching church. We have the ability to present lots of Word to you. And then you see that we have space for the Holy Spirit and a place where you can get healed and get filled and get free and hear the word, a prophetic word from the Lord. And so we got a lot of even the Spirit involved. But something we're really investing in this next season is this third element of relationships in our church. It's really important as we move forward and as God continues to expand our influence and continues to expand our congregation that people don't get lost in the shuffle. It's important that you find community in this larger community. There are 4, 5, 10 people that God wants to strategically place in your life that will be there as partners through life, to be there as prayer partners, to be there. Maybe you go through a difficult time and they're there. Maybe they go through a difficult time and you're there. And God wants to do that. And so we're really investing in a future small group ministry here in Life Church. We've attempted things in the past. We started and we've stopped. We haven't had the follow through. And it's all because the church is so busy. We've never had one person really leading in vision for small groups and then keeping them accountable and reproducing them and keeping them in front of us. And so I'm excited about this position because we've hired someone and this has been a long time coming. We've always had to fill the needs of things that were lacking and things in the church. But this particular position is a future vision kind of position. So it's not just filling slots, but it's growing into who we're becoming. And so I'm super excited that we've hired Pastor Chad and Wendy Owens to be our community life pastors. Community life pastors. So they'll focus on raising up leaders, raising up small groups, helping people find the small group that works for them. And then because it's their main focus, it won't die away in the busyness of the year. It's something that we're going to continue because it's so important that you meet people and that you make those connections in this congregation. Church is not an hour and a half on a Sunday. Church is life that we do together. And my hopes is even in these small groups, they'll be there. Like I said, you go through a difficult time, or maybe even you want to go on vacation and people are like, I would love to vacation with friends, but I don't have any friends. God knows how to bring those friendships, relationships into your life. And it's something that we want to make sure as you're growing in your Christian life, that's relationships as a part of your Christian life. So community life pastor, real quickly, what does that mean? First, they're going to focus on church community life. That's you getting into small groups. Then they're going to focus on local community life, which is mobilizing those small groups to help us with all this vision we have here locally as we help in food pantries and we help in libraries and hospitals and the schools. And that's a priority. We're not going to pull away from getting involved in our community. That is forever who we are. We're not an event on a corner. We're a mobilized group of believers that are infiltrating our neighborhoods and our community. And so they'll get involved with the local community life. So we have the church community life. They'll mobilize us into the local community life. But then they're going to help us with the global community. And the interesting thing about Chad and Wendy is they're actually currently missionaries. They still are missionaries. They've planted churches in Swaziland and in Kenya, orphanages and schools, and they're still going back and forth. And so we're going to have resident missionaries on our team that make sure that missions to us isn't just write a check and put it in the bucket, but it becomes relational where we get to know our missionaries and we get to have some sort of ongoing exchange and community with the global community that we're a part of. So again, the community life pastor position is church small groups, it's local community initiatives, and it's global community initiatives, and they're going to be taking you on missions trips in the next season as well. And so we're super excited about that position. Would you just celebrate Chad and Wendy Owens real quick? Amen. Amen. You'll meet them next weekend. We're going to bring them up on the platform so that you can meet them personally. And then lastly, before I get into the teaching, I want to talk to you about our Halloween outreach this fall. Now, I've asked you permission a little earlier this year to let us put a pause on the Harvest Festival to try something new. And in our desire to get into the community, I believe the vision of what we're going to do, I'm really excited about, because it's going towards this idea of not just being one light on the corner, but the mobilization and the engagement into our neighborhoods and into our communities. And so here's what we're going to try this year, and I believe we're going to succeed, is rather than having the Harvest Festival event here on Halloween night, we're going to create five unique special events in different assigned neighborhoods in our community. We're going to pick five major neighborhoods, and we're going to do five good size events in those neighborhoods. So we've just multiplied from one space into where people are living and they're walking and all that stuff. And we're going to present great activities, great prizes and games and all kinds of things. And we're going to run these five initiatives all over our region. And then we're going to encourage the rest of us, dozens and dozens and dozens of houses, to come and pick up a Halloween outreach kit for your own personal house so you can turn your own house into a shining light of community and outreach. And we'll walk you through how to do that, and we'll train you how to do that, and it'll be something we're doing together. And so our desire to get into our community and into their world and out in front of them, rather than y'all come here where our one light is, we're multiplying our lights into dozens and dozens of houses and places. So everywhere you go in this community, you're hearing about Jesus and you're meeting Christians and you're hearing about the love of God, and we're where the community is. And so that's our hope in this Halloween season. So we're super excited to try something new, and I believe God for a great harvest in it. Are you excited about some of those initiatives? Is that all right? Woo! Okay. Now I want to present to you the message. Now I'm going to ask you to do me a favor today. I want to ask you to allow me to be myself in preaching this, because this is not a teaching like point one, point two, point three. This is what I would believe to be more of a prophetic message. What do I mean by prophetic message? It means it shines light and meaning on some things, but in preaching it, it also, I believe, releases an empowerment to become that which you're hearing. I believe this whole weekend, the Holy Spirit's been doing something in Life Church in speaking of a new season and speaking of a new beginning. And God's going to prophetically shine some light on some things. It reminds me of Luke chapter 4, when Jesus stood up in front of the congregation. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, release to the captives." But he didn't sit there and teach a three-point sermon on how all that was going to happen. He was basically saying, the anointing is here to do this right now. And if you'll receive it, it'll be for you right now. And I also need the freedom to not worry so much about the clock. It's something in this new season that God's been dealing with me in, and I need to apologize for you, because I apologize to you that I've allowed myself in some ways to shrink back to who I really am, because I've been afraid of going too long for people. And there's lots of places you can go in and out quickly. You can go to McDonald's and get fed real fast, but it's not always the healthiest. And sometimes in church, I have allowed myself, as the church has grown and as I've done this 14 years, to get in my head that I got to get people in and out as quickly as they want to. But that doesn't mean God's been done. And that doesn't mean that I've been able to give you everything that I'm supposed to give you. And so in this next season, it's not that I want to keep you here forever, but I do want to keep you here until you're done, until God says you're done. And that's just got to be something. And let me tell you this, it'll also be the best version of me for you, because I'm not feeling like I have to run down this clock because a successful sermon is a short one. If you still think that, then you don't understand the word. Amen. See, sometimes people just want as short as possible because they don't understand that God is doing something. And it's just because you've experienced maybe something that wasn't meaningful, but when you're in something that's meaningful, you want as much as you can, because it's increasing and growing and changing you while you're there. And you don't want to come out of the oven half-baked. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. And so I'm not saying I'm going to preach for 4 hours. That's not what I'm talking about. But I just mentally need to allow myself the freedom to just communicate until I'm done communicating in this next season. If you need to leave for work, that's totally fine. No one's going to think anything wrong, anything like that. But I have to take those handcuffs off myself so that I can be in this next season of Life Church, the full version of who I'm supposed to be. And so I'm just going to say that right now. Now I want to talk to you about what I believe this prophetic message is for you today. And I'm going to start in John chapter 11, verse 25, talking about a new season, talking about a new beginning and a new day. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies." Now, we know the literal meaning of that has to do with eternal life. Aren't you grateful for eternal life? That even if we die, it's not the end, praise God, that we have eternal life on the other side of that door of death. But today, like I said, in a prophetic way, the prophetic helps us see some things that we didn't see before. It helps us build some clarity, some vision, some purpose and meaning behind some things. And today I want to show that verse to you maybe in another way. When Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life, he who believes in me, even if he dies, he's going to live." I believe many of us have gone through seasons, even recently, where you feel like something in you has died. It's been a difficult season. It's been a troubling season. It's been a season of adversity. It's been a season of oppression and opposition. It's been a season where certain dreams have died. Certain talents and things have been buried. And you felt like you've been in this season like a walking dead, like a walking zombie. And I'm here to tell you today that because you're connected to the resurrection and the life, that even though you've been in a season of death, yet shall you live. Yet shall you live. Doesn't matter what has died. What matters is that you're connected to the resurrection and the life. And God is not done with you. Amen. Amen. Today, I believe there's a meaning in these seasons changing, and it involves a little bit of dying that we've come out of. John chapter 12, verse 24. Jesus again saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." You see, in this season of death that you've walked through, where that vision seemed to die, where that dream seemed to die, where you have felt the adversity and you felt the oppression and you felt this walking dead, like you're just not who you once were. You don't even feel the same. It's just been heavy and dark. I'm telling you, in that season, God has been recreating and bringing resurrection through you, and you're about to see it come out of your life. Amen. You see, that grain of wheat, it had to go through a season where there were some things in it that died. But the things that died are not even comparable to the life that's being created on the other side of that seed. There's some flesh that needed to die. There's some pride that needed to die. But there's also some good things even that died maybe in that difficult season you've been walking through. But God is saying, if you wouldn't have gone through this season, you would not enter into the next season of the highly multiplied, fruitful life that he has for you. It was in this season where the devil tried to make you think you were done. The devil tried to make you think you were dying and that's all you could do. And I'm telling you, in this season, God, the resurrection power of God, though you were dead, yet shall you live. And what comes out of you in this next season is far greater of what you were before. Far greater. That grain of wheat had to be buried. And when you're buried in that lonely season, because it is lonely, that seed is in that ground and it's dark in the ground. And the seed can't see the change that's happening to it. It feels dark in that season of death. It feels dark in that season of adversity and trouble. And there's also a sense of isolation, like you're the only one. But Jeff, you look through this room right now, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that have been going through a very similar situation. You're not the only one. And you can't see and you feel isolated and alone. And sometimes that seed can even feel forgotten. But none of that is true. It's just what you've experienced or what your feelings or emotions are trying to tell you. But what's really happening with you, if you stay connected to Jesus during that season, stay connected to the resurrection and the life in that season, that grain of wheat has fallen to the ground. And during that season of death, you have been changing and you just don't know you've been changing. You've been growing and you've been increasing and you've been learning to trust God and you've been learning to hear the Spirit. You've been learning to say no to pride and no to the flesh and no to bitterness. You've been learning how to say yes to the things that God is shaping. And you're going to come up out into this new season into multiplied fruitfulness. You see, because the Bible said there, if that seed didn't go through that season of death, it would have remained alone. See, what I have found during these seasons of trouble and these seasons where it feels like things are dead, I have found that a lot of my I, me vision begins to change in that season. And when I come up out of that season, I have this love for other people and this compassion for other people. I have this desire to help as many people as possible. And that's what happens in that season of aloneness, that season that looks like death, is that grain of wheat dies and changes. And when you come up, you have the heart of God and Jesus in you for the world around you. Amen. Amen. There are times in our lives when we feel defeated. Notice I said that. I said we feel defeated. You are not defeated even though you felt defeated in this season. That is not the reality. That is not the truth. You may have felt abandoned, but he said he would never leave you or forsake you. You may feel defeated, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But yes, you have, and I want to just be honest. You've gone through a difficult time. You've gone through what looked like the end, but you're not over. You're not finished. You're not ending. That season of death isn't your future. That's what changed you into the multiplied version of yourself. You see, we want to go into a new season and we want to go into a new harvest, but that grain of wheat still has to go to the ground for a while and die and change. You might have felt defeated, but I'm here to declare to you and remind you today that death in Christianity always gives way to new life. See, he is the resurrection and the life. There was a worship leader that came here a few months back in winter, who was related to Pastor Ken in ministry relationship, and his name's Leon, and he was singing, and he began to prophesy in his singing. And he began to say, "You're growing in winter. You're growing in winter." And I remember just in worship that day, just feeling it in my spirit, just began to cry in worship. Because you know, a lot of times in winter, everything looks dead, and it's dark, and it's cold. But that's not the truth. Everything isn't dead. It looks dead. It feels dead. It feels long. But you know, everything we hope for in spring is being created underneath that surface in winter. Do you see what I'm saying? As much as we want to speak against ever going through a season of dying or have a good confession that life's always going to be perfect, I'm telling you there are seasons, but those seasons when they come, those attacks, those troubling times, those even times where certain dreams and certain things die, that in the Lord, we can never die in the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? And so you refuse the idea of death and that you're done. There's a resurrection coming, this new season, and all of that season of death, all of that season of darkness is changing you, is multiplying you, is increasing you. So when you come forth, everything that was happening under the surface in winter, everything we hope for in spring was created in that season of death. Does that make sense? The faith is created in that season in death. The learning how to operate in strength and perseverance and in the gifts of the Spirit happened in that season of trouble. And everything you're hoping for in spring, I'm telling you, is connected to that moment of death, that season of struggle that you've gone through. Have you ever said, going through something, "I'm done. I'm done. Matter of fact, God, I'm well done. Take me off the grill, Jesus. I'm done." My personal phrase is, "I'm out." That's my way of saying, "I don't want to do this anymore." I've said that multiple times driving in my minivan with my kids on the way to Florida. "I can't take it anymore. Rapture me, Jesus. I'm out. I'm done. Jesus, literally, take the wheel. I'm out." That means you've come to the point of exhaustion, right? "I'm done. I'm out." It reminds me of the phrase in boxing, throwing in the towel. In boxing, when you throw in the towel, it means you're conceding defeat. It means you quit. "This is far as I can go." And I believe the anointing of God is in this house today, even through the internet, to help you understand some things and to help you realize you're not done. This is not as far as you can go. You're not over. and you're not finished. As a matter of fact, everything you've been experiencing has been changing and transforming you, and what's about to break forth out of you is this season of fruitfulness and this season of multiplication. And as much as we hate the seasons of death and loss and discouragement and struggle, they are working in us a very great weight of glory. I'm telling you, we are learning and we are growing and we're becoming. And when we burst out of this thing, yes, there are some things that died. As much as I want to say nothing ever dies, no, there are some things that do die in that season. And you know what? I don't want to bring them back the same way. I want resurrection life. Sometimes you're trying to get back to what you were before the season of death. And I'm trying to tell you, you can't. A grain of wheat can't go back. Once it's been changed, it doesn't go back into being a singular grain. You don't want what you were before the season of death. You understand what I'm saying? You're going to come out, but you're going to come out. Yes, you are different. And people are going to say, you're different. And rather than saying, oh, I want to be who I was. No, I'm saying be who you've become because of what God has done in your life. And because you made it through that season of death and you didn't quit and you persevered. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's a smaller version of you on the other side of that death. And who you are now is filled with multiplication, fruitfulness, and life. And it was by you changing during that season of forgottenness and darkness and buriedness. But I'm telling you, you're about to burst forth. Don't quit. You are connected to the resurrection and the life. And you believe in Jesus. And even though you were dead, you live in Jesus' name. You live. Yes. You went through some death. That's honest. Let's not lie about it. It was death, but you know what it created? It created life. Death gives way to life when it comes to Christianity. Come on, somebody. I'm here today to tell you, you're not out, you're not over, and even if it looks like there's no hope, God is not throwing in your towel. He wouldn't. See, the devil can't throw in your towel. He can't tell you when you're done. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Circumstances are not allowed to tell you when you're done. Sometimes you try to say you're done. I'm out. I'm done. And you try to throw in your own towel. And today I believe God by the Holy Spirit's grabbing that towel midair. And he's saying, first of all, he's saying this. He's saying, you don't even get to say when it's over. You were bought with a price. You're not allowed to say you're out until God says you're out. Why? Because God knows what's in you and he knows what's coming. And he doesn't want you to quit prematurely. Praise God. You know, if you really do work for God, then you're not allowed to resign, right? God is the only one that's allowed to pull you out of the game. And he knows how to do that and bring you to glory safely. The devil can't pull you out. You stop pulling yourself out. The world can't pull you out. Circumstances can't pull you out. God is picking up that towel, I believe, today, saying, you're not over. You're not over. Just a couple of biblical stories, you know. I'm sure Israel, when they were in Egypt, if you don't know the Bible, the people of God were enslaved for 450 years in Egypt. I'm sure there were times that they thought there was no future for them. They were enslaved. It was over. But God was building a nation in them when they were in Egypt. And then they went into the desert. And in the desert, they learned about God. And they learned some things about covenant. And they learned about who they were in relationship to God. And they even made some mistakes and ended up in the desert a long time. And so I'm sure they might have thought, we were done. We were over. There's no future for us in Egypt. And they might have thought there was no future for us in the desert. But you know what? There was still a future for them. There was always a promised land for them. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. If they didn't quit. Yeah. And what happened in Egypt and what happened in the desert prepared them to become fruitful and multiply in Canaan. Amen. Another story. Joseph. Not the Broadway musical. But the real person. Who was one of 12 sons of Israel. He had a dream. He had a vision. See, God, many times he gives you the vision of the end. The Bible says God speaks the end from the beginning. The problem is he doesn't tell you the middle. No matter how much I've asked, he never does it. He says the end. This is where you're going to be. And we're like, woo, woo. And then we see how we got to get there. And we're like, pfft. But Joseph, he showed him where he was going to be, and he shared it with his brothers, and his brothers got jealous, and they ended up beating him up, trying to kill him, and one brother stood up for him and said, let's not kill him. Let's sell him into slavery. At least we can make some money off of him. Thank you, brother. And so they throw him in a pit, and they sell him into slavery. He goes into Egypt, and in Egypt, he begins to work for a guy named Potiphar, begins to prosper just a little bit, and all of a sudden, in the middle, He gets lied about and he gets thrown into a prison. So literally he went from a pit to a prison. So he went through some seasons of death, some seasons of darkness, some seasons of feeling alone. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But in that pit and in that prison, he was changing. He was a seed being buried into the ground, and he would have abided alone, but that season taught him some things about trusting God and believing in the favor of God and believing in the promise of God. And the Bible says that Pharaoh one day had a dream and he called upon Joseph, needed Joseph. Joseph came in, answered and gave wisdom to the dream and the vision of what was happening. Pharaoh made him the second in charge of Egypt, of which was the greatest nation of the world. And Joseph's life now was no longer about Joseph on the other side of the pit in prison. He's in a palace, and his wisdom and his position and who he's become now is saving millions of people from famine. Do you see the story? Can you see the season of death, the season of opposition, the season of loss, the season of feeling forgotten, feeling isolated? Joseph, I'm sure, could have felt like his life at times was going the wrong way. This is going backwards, Jesus. But you understand, your life is never going backwards. He's always moving you towards what he's promised. Don't look at the circumstances to tell you you're going forward or backward. You look at Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Joseph was never going backwards. You might have lost a job and thought, God promised me this, and in losing my job, I'm going the wrong way. You're not going the wrong way. You're still moving towards the vision of God for your life. You might just be in a season of burial, or a season of something might have died, but in that season, if you'll hold on to the resurrection and the life, you will live. And when you come out of that season, you're going to look different. You're going to talk different. You will have been changed, but it will look like the multiplied fruitfulness of Jesus in your life, in your attitude, in your eyes, in your actions, in your power, and in your authority. Amen. Because that season of death turns you in to that resurrection life representative. So you have to see that both of these seasons, both of these examples with Israel and with Joseph, after their seasons of death, they walked into their seasons of fruitfulness and multiplication. Both of them. As much as you wanted to possess the promised land and never go through a season of death, or you wanted to go to the palace and never go through that season of death, it was in that season of struggle and in that season of death and darkness that you changed and you became the man and the woman that needed to possess that promise. Amen. And you will come out into a new season. And we can sing about new seasons and be excited about them, but I want you to understand why some of this last season has been so difficult. It's not because God was being hard on you. It's because the devil sometimes is trying to stop you, but even in trying to stop you, he was always working for you. You just didn't realize it. Let me give you our greatest example of what I'm talking about in Christianity. Sometimes what looks like the end of you is actually the beginning. And the greatest example is right here on the stage. Come on, everybody. The cross. See, this looked like the end of Jesus, but it was only the beginning. This looked like the end of the plan of God, but it's only the beginning. Are you understanding? This looked like the devil had won, but in reality, the devil had sealed his own defeat. Come on now. Come on. This is what Christianity is all about. Seasons of trouble being turned into great triumph. Seasons of darkness turning into great opportunity for light. Seasons of death turning into resurrection. Amen. How many times do we say we're done? It's over. There's no life after this. No one lives after a crucifixion until Jesus proved them wrong. You might think, no one lives after what I've gone through. Well, you prove them wrong. You prove them wrong. Come on now. You're attached to the resurrection and the life. You're attached to the resurrection and the life. Doesn't matter what means of death the devil tried to bring or the world tried to bring. Doesn't matter what method of death. You will, yeah, be buried, but don't worry. You're coming up out of that grave. You're coming up out of that grave. Amen. There's times in our lives that we feel like the enemy's winning. That could have looked like that at the cross. There's times when you feel like and you look like you're done. You're out. There's one last passage of scripture I want to share with you. It's found in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Now, I'm not going to put it in context. In its own context, it talks about Jesus basically fulfilling the law and us being in Jesus. We fulfill the law and we can have grace. I know what the biblical context for this verse, but I really feel like God pulled this verse out of the page and said, Kevin, preach this verse from a different perspective so that the people will see what I'm trying to tell them today. And so I know I'm not using this verse in its proper context, but I believe you'll understand why the Holy Spirit says, show them this about that verse. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now again, in context, it means I am crucified with Christ and now I'm hidden in Christ. And so I fulfilled the law by him fulfilling the law in Christ. But let me read it to you now based on the context of this message today. I have been crucified like Christ. I have gone through a crucifixion. I have gone through a season of death. And it's no longer I who live. See, on the other end of that season of trouble, on the other side of that momentary death, you changed. And no longer is it you, the big I, that lives. Amen. But it's Christ who lives in me. You see, the old you and all some of those, that pride, some of that selfishness, some of that confusion and stuff you brought in, it stayed dead, it stayed buried. It's no longer I. It's not the same me that I was before I walked through this season of crucifixion, this season of death. I'm not the same person. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who I was that lives. But now it's Christ who lives in me. You see, and that's what we learn when we walk through those tough seasons is we learn how to lean on Jesus and not on our own understanding. We learn how to hear the Lord. We learn how to trust the Lord. We learn how to let the Lord heal those places. And we learn how to emerge out of that season of death, not in our own strength, but in his. And the life I now live in the flesh, see, there it is. It's interesting that he links that there's this crucifixion kind of feeling and moments in our lives, but yet we still live. But we live differently than we lived before that season of death. And this life that I now live, you see, you're going to live. I just want to speak that over you. You're not going to die in this. You weren't destined to die in this. This was destined to help you live the life you were intended to live. Even though it didn't come from God, it might have come from wicked people, it might have come from the devil, it might have come from the world, it might have just been something that happens. Doesn't matter, but I'm telling you, you will not die in this because you're connected to the resurrection and the life. But you're not going to be the same version of who you were before. Nevertheless, I live. But this life I live on this side of the crucifixion, the life that I live on this side of that season of death, I've learned to live by faith in the Son of God. Amen. I've learned to live by faith in Christ. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself up for me. See, sometimes some old things need to die in order to bring forth some new things in our lives. Some old things need to die. Some bad things sometimes in us need to die. And even sometimes some good things need to die. And some things which time has passed need to die in order to bring forth the new things that God is bringing into your life. Now, I'm not here to tell you why the last season has happened or who did what to whom to find blame over that season you've been in. I'm here to speak to your hope and to your future. The attack and season doesn't mean you're done. That's what I'm trying to say. Some of us, if you've prophesied over your own life based on the season you've been in, rather than the seeds that are in you and the God and the resurrection power that's in you. So you're letting the season tell you what you are. The season doesn't get to tell you what you are. You see what I'm saying? He who's begun a good work in you, he's going to be faithful to complete that work. Okay? Now finally, this is not something you do in your own strength. This is not one of those messages that says, buck up, little camper, you've been in a tough time, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and let's get on with it. It's not what we're talking about. Because resurrection happens by the Spirit of God. Amen. See, Jesus didn't raise himself from the dead. The Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. And it's the Holy Spirit's work in your life. That's why I believe even in a day like today, by the anointing of the Spirit of God that's upon today, can shift you from that season of death, shift you from that season of defeat and loss, and bring you into your resurrection hope and future that God has for you, because it's a work of the Spirit. See, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal body, not your spiritual body, this body on this earth in Jesus' name. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. And I believe that's what the Spirit of God has been trying to communicate throughout the whole day today. Whatever you've been going through, whatever loss that you've suffered, whatever trouble you've gone through, whatever season of darkness, season of abandonment, season of whatever that's been, yes, it's changed you, but that's okay. Because the Spirit of God is about to bring you up out of the ground into that multiplied season, into that fruitful place of abundance. And you're going to see the world differently. And you're going to see meaning and purpose in your life on this side of that crucifixion that you've just walked through. Yes, you've changed, but that's okay. And so today, I want to end a little bit different. I'm going to have our ushers, if you would, please pass out our communion emblems, if you would. We have the opportunity to take communion today, and it's important that we take communion in a day like today, not just to celebrate, the 14 years or anything like that, but we take communion because it's something that Jesus talks about as being covenant for us. And communion represents so many things. Go ahead and start passing it out. Don't wait for me, because we're going to end with this. Obviously, communion is communing with the Lord. That which is happening in us today is God getting involved in your journey and in your story, and you're communing with God and his Spirit during this time. This is not something we're doing. It's something that God is doing in us. But also communion has to do with us, the body, being unified as one body. I believe as we've been talking about and preaching about a new season and about a new day and a new beginning, that you have to understand the church is not a building. The church is the people. And so it's not that these buildings are going through a new season. It's you're going into a new season. And if God is speaking it to some of us, I'm telling you, he's speaking it to all of us. Why? Because we're a body. Whether you feel it or not, you may still feel like you're in this dark place. I'm telling you, God is speaking it to all of us, because he's not going to leave some fingers in the old grave. Does that make sense to you? See, we still separate ourselves in the church thinking that a few people have some special stuff with God and a few others here. I'm saying if God is speaking something to the body, he's intending on the whole body moving forward with one big leap. You know, when Israel came out of Egypt, it wasn't a few at a time. It was the whole nation came out at one time. You understand? God does this. And so I believe many of us have gone through seasons within the last couple years that something in you has changed, something as you died, it's been difficult, been trouble, whatever it is, whatever. It doesn't matter who or what or why. But what matters is I believe today the Holy Spirit has been putting things in motion, ordering your steps to be here. Every song that has been sung and prophesied over your life, God is trying to help you understand it's a new season, it's a new day, and you're about to break forth into resurrection life, and it's for everyone. I'm telling you, he's not going to leave a couple of fingers in the grave. Or a couple of toes, the whole body's coming out. Amen. I say that over you, Life Church, this whole body is coming out of whatever you've been in, whatever we've been in, and we're moving into a new season. And in this season, it's a multiplied fruitfulness. It's multiplied fruitfulness. And so that's why we're taking communion again. And lastly, why we want to take communion is this. When communion was first given to us, Jesus at the Last Supper, he was signifying the end of an old covenant and an old season, and he was initiating the New Testament and a new covenant and a new season. And so in this covenant meal, I believe we're saying the same thing. We're closing the book of one season and testimony and testament, and we're opening the book to a new testimony and a new testament. All right, why don't you go ahead and stand up and let's take communion together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for this house. I thank you for your word over this house. I thank you for life coming forth from death, praise God. And Lord, as we receive communion today, we commune with you, Holy Spirit. This is all a work of God. It is not something that we just make happen. You pull us up and resurrect us. And Lord, I just thank you right now for the unity of this body. We pray for our brothers and our sisters that have gone through difficult times, troubling times, stressful, lonely, dark, painful times. And Lord, we pray right now corporately a shift into this body, into resurrection and into a new season. And we take communion today, thanking you for your covenant, thanking you for new beginnings. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Let's partake of the bread. And Lord, we partake of the cup. When you said this cup was the new covenant, the new testament in your blood, we do this in remembrance of you, and we also do it together as a body and into our future that we're walking into together. We give you thanks for your blood. It forgives us of our sins and cleanses us, and it speaks of a new beginning, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Let's partake of the cup. Lord, I thank you for new beginnings. I thank you for the resurrection and the life. And we believe in you. Though we were dead, yet we live. And I speak that over this house. I speak it over every family, every individual. And we give you thanks, Holy Spirit, for your work. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to dismiss differently today. I'm going to be officially done. And I'm going to open these altars. And this is how I saw it. Some of you need to have some time at the altars where you kind of symbolically are stepping away from your seat into the altar area. And it's like you stepping away from your old season into your new season. And I've asked the pastors and altar workers if they'd be available. We're not going to spend a lot of time on any one person, but we're here to support you and to go around, pray for you. The Lord may give us a word for you. The Lord may just give us a prayer to pray for you, but to support you in that. But to really mark today in your heart, you might need to come up front and you might need to declare, I'm not over. I'm not finished. And it's only my beginning. And you need to have that moment at the altar where you say it and you pray it and you receive it and you let us kind of minister kind of around and be a part of that. And so I'm just going to close in a word of prayer, and the altars are going to be open if you want to have that time of sealing it up with the Lord. If not, you're dismissed. That's fine. You can do that. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, as we bring this service to a conclusion, I pray that those that can come and pray, that desire to have that moment, that God, you would have signs following that. And so while they're praying and while they're receiving, there would be just an expression of that affirmation. For those that leave and they can't stay, I pray that you would continue to speak this word and affirm them even while they go. And so God, we give you thanks for what has been, and we give you thanks for where we're going. And we give you glory in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. You are officially dismissed. The altars are open if you would like to spend some time having some ministry to your new season.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.